You're thinking about today. I don't know what's on your mind. I know what's on mine. I know why I came to church. You know, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow up in church. And then after I accepted Christ as a young man of 23 years old, I liked church. And I've been in church ever since then. Nobody's ever had to beg me or bribe me or beat me. I've just wanted to go to church. That's where I've been ever since I got saved. And every Sunday night, yeah, I'm one of them. Sunday night, yeah, Wednesday night, I'm one of them. Yeah. If you have revival, I'm going to be here. Amen. Like the old hillbilly from West Virginia said, I want to be at every meeting. If y'all have a meeting on the front porch to spit off the front porch, I want to be there. Amen. Only people from West Virginia would know what that means. Amen. Matthew chapter 2. All right, let's get your Bible. Everybody got Matthew chapter 2? Let's look at verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. I'd like to preach to you for just a few minutes, if you'll listen to me, just a few minutes. I want to preach to you about the question, where is he? Amen. Let's pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, the wise men, we call them, traveled all the way from Babylon to Israel to find the Savior. Man's been looking for him ever since the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, and God gave the promise that one day there's one coming devil that he's going to bruise your head. And they've been looking for him ever since, and these wise men saw the sign, and they traveled for months to get there. And when they got there, of course, they went to the wrong people, which a lot of us do, and they said, where is the man that has been born the king of the Jews? Where is that Savior that we've heard and read about all our lives? We come seeking the Savior. From the day I was born, the day you were born, the day everybody's ever been born on planet Earth, we were born seeking God. Now, we didn't always know that's what we were seeking, but every one of us, God put that down in our heart, that we would seek him. And he said, if you'll seek me, you'll find me. Now, old Herod, he done everything he could to get them to hurt the Savior, but they went and they found the Savior and they went home rejoicing. And listen, the good news is that he lived a sinless life, he died in the sinner's place, he rose from the grave the third day victorious over death, hell, and the grave to prove that God had accepted that perfect sacrifice so that you and I could be forgiven of our imperfections of sin and we could be saved and go to heaven. And that's what everybody's really seeking. I've got good news for you. He's no longer in the manger. I've got good news for you. He's no longer on the cross. I've got better news for you. He's no longer in the tomb. I've got some news for some religious folks. He's not found in a little tabernacle on a Catholic altar. Amen? He's not hanging on a crucifix. He's not found by some mystical experience or some feeling burning down inside of you. He's found sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding for those of us who believe. Amen? He can be found. That's the good news. It's not impossible. I meet people all the time. They say, well, preacher, I'll never be saved. I'll never be good enough. I say, you don't have to be good enough because he was good enough. And he desires to save you. And you can find him in the saints. If you'll look at people who have been born again, turn to Galatians 2:20 real quick. Galatians 2:20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now you can find him in the saints if you look for him. If you'll quit being so negative and judgmental of Christians, and you get to watching them and you get to listening to them, you'll find that the Lord lives in those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you'll see a little bit of him in them. Amen. That's one of the things that brought those of us who are saved to the Lord. We saw him in other saints. I'll never forget, old Bud Howe, he'll never hear this. I guess he will. He's up in heaven. He's that great cloud of witnesses. But I went to work at Rock Hill Printing and Finishing, and it was a bunch of wicked old men worked in that department, and they loved to see a young boy come in. They could make a convert out of him, you know, make me just as wicked as they were, you know. And but there was one man in there that stood out among those 30-something men on the third shift, and that man didn't hang around with those while they was in the bathroom playing dice or playing cards or telling dirty jokes or over there at the smoker, you know. That man kept to his cell. He was clean as a whistle. I'm talking about that man was neat as a pin. And when you'd go over on his job, he was on the end of this big machine. He fed it the cloth, and those cloth come in a big old roll. And while that roll was rolling off in that dye machine getting dyed, he didn't sit over and tell dirty jokes and smoke cigarettes and look at dirty magazines and all that stuff like the rest of them. No, sir. He sat over and had a little New Testament. He'd sit there and read his Bible while that machine run. All them other guys over there. But you know what? They respected him. They respected him. And I didn't know what was going on. And that night he walked in the bathroom. Everything got shushed while everybody was cussing going on. Everybody quit cussing. Everybody quit playing cards. We had a big shower house, you know, you had to go to after work. He come through there and he washed his face and he washed his hand. He had hair about that long. He washed his hair and he went there and changed clothes. And when he went out, it all started right back the way it was, loud and going on. I said, "What in the world just happened?" They said, "That was Bud. Don't you know about Bud?" I said, "No." They said, "Well, Bud used to be a drunk, and he was wicked and awful, and he had a car wreck, and he almost died, and they put him in the hospital. And while he was in the hospital, he got saved. He found Jesus." And said a couple of months later, when he come back to work, we all carpooled. When it was his turn, he'd pull up to your house, and he'd let you in and say, "Now listen, I love you, fella, and I'm glad you're riding to work with me, but there won't be no more cussing in my car. There won't be no more dirty jokes in my car. There won't be no more drinking liquor in my car. There won't be no more smoking in my car. I got saved, and I'm living right. Now, if that makes you mad, you can find a ride with somebody else. That's the way I am." And he stuck to it. And people respected him. You know why? When you saw Bud, you saw a little bit of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he was a godly man. He was one of those old-fashioned Church of God fellows. Back when people made fun of Church of God people. I wish we'd get some more of those people. Amen? I wish we'd get a bunch of them in here. Amen? Godly people. People that live separate from the world. And when you saw him, you saw the Savior. You say he was perfect? No, I'm sure he wasn't perfect. I'm sure he wasn't. I'm sure he had his flaws, but I never looked for his flaws. Once I learned he was a Christian, I looked for Christ in him. Amen. Now, if you're not saved, I'm not talking about looking at that one that runs around with you and says they're a Christian, does everything you do. I'm talking about the one that practices what they preach, and they walk it, and they look it, and they talk it, and they practice it. Yeah, hey, you watch them, you'll find Christ in them. Amen. And boy, that'll be our desire, that Christ would be in us, the hope of glory, that others could see it and ask what our hope is. Amen? I read this story about this little village years ago. This missionary went to a village in England where there was nothing but elderly, sick people. And the missionary asked this lady there, says, "Does Queen Victoria ever call on you here?" And she said, "Yes, she does." Says sometimes she calls on us, sometimes she comes by to see us. And then she was wondering if the woman was a Christian that she was talking to. And she says, "Does the King of Kings ever visit here?" And she said, "No, he lives here because he lives in my heart. And he promised he'd never leave me and he'd never forsake me." Amen? You say he lives right here. You say, "Show me Jesus." The only way I can show you is what's in my heart. Amen? And the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. Amen? And so, if you're looking for the Savior, the first place you're going to look is at other saints. Boy, I went down there and I heard that preacher preach, and he preached against everything I was. He pointed right at me while he was preaching. At least I felt like he did. Amen. I was 6th pew on the left-hand side on the end, so I'd get out real quick, and I'd look out from behind that man. I'd duck behind. I'd look out from behind him like some of y'all do. I'd look out behind that man, and that preacher, he'd be pointing over here, but I felt like he was pointing right at me. Every time I looked up, that big old fat finger, I felt like it was pointing right at me. Amen? Amen. Everything he said, I felt like he was talking just to me. If I was the only one there, I was the one he was talking to. Amen? You know why? I saw Christ in that preacher. I heard Christ in him. Amen? In his preaching, in his speech. And then I'd watch him. And I watched him and I saw Christ in his actions. Amen? So number one, I got good news for you. You can see him. And Christians, they ought to see him in us, the hope of glory. Amen? You can find him. You get looking at some good saints, you'll find Christ. Amen? And then the Lord started letting people cross my path more and more that I would see Christ in them. And everybody wasn't like me. And everybody wasn't like that wicked crowd that I knew. And there were other Christians. And there were people that loved God and tried to live for God. And I'd get convicted when I'd get around them. You know why? I felt Christ in their presence. And you know why? Because everywhere that we go, he goes with us. Amen? I better hurry on. I can tell some of you's nervous as a long-tailed cat in a rocking chair factory. Listen, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, look, I'm not waiting to get to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. Amen. And it's not because of me, it's because of him. See that? And then, did you know you can find him seated at the right hand of the Father? You can find him seated at the right hand of the Father, according to Hebrews chapter 8. And I'm not going to go there today, but you read Hebrews 8:1. But he is interceding for us. Turn to Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7:25. Look at it with me. It says, wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Where did you see that? To the uttermost. Like one old preacher said it when he's talking about me in that text. He's saying from the uttermost to the guttermost. Amen? Yeah. Amen. He went down the gutter to get some of us. Amen? Amen. And listen, he is now seated on the right hand of the Father. You know what that means? That's a position of authority, the right hand. That's the strong hand. He sits on the right hand of the Father, and he's not just sitting there in his royal robes. He's sitting there interceding. You know what interceding is? Interceding is when I go over here and I say, Rick, don't be mad at Billy. I know he's aggravating, but I love him. Don't be mad at him, Rick. Don't be mad at him. Don't hold this to his account. Forgive him, Rick. He know not what he does. Amen? And I go over here and I say, Ron, don't you be mad at Rick because he ain't mad at Billy. Listen, he ever liveth. He's interceding for us. He's our lawyer. He's our advocate. Amen? He's our go-between. I don't have to go to God. He goes for me. And when I sin, you know what he does? He looks over at the Father before I ever say anything. He looks at the Father and says, Father, forgive him. I've already paid for that. And he points at the scars, the holes in his hand and the holes in his feet and the hole in his side. And he said, Father, that's already paid for. Amen. Now that's where you can find him. Seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me and you. You know, we're not the best Christians ever live. I know I'm not. I'm probably not. I know I'm not the best Christian in this room. There's a lot of better Christians than we are. But thank God it doesn't depend on who we are, but on who he was. Amen? He paid for that. And now who he is interceding for that. And did you know that you can't do anything to surprise God? Right. You know you can't do anything to let him down? You see, there was no conditions on your sin, on your salvation. No conditions. God said, the Son paid for it, it's paid in full. So now you sin and you go to the Father, and you ought to. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And you ask him to forgive you, and then he says, what sins are you talking about?
because the Son has already interceded for you, and it was paid for on the cross already. And God never looks down here and has an uh-oh moment. He never looks down and says, uh-oh, I didn't know Ron was going to do that. He knew before the world was ever created what you were going to do. And listen, since He had no expectations of you, you can't let Him down. His love is unconditional. Do y'all see that? Now, we have conditional love. We'll say, if you love me, I'll love you back. We say, if you do this, then I'll love you. Or if you don't do that, then I'll love you. But God just says, for God so loved. That's it. God just loves you. Now, because of that, you can't fail Him. I know we say we do, but really we fail ourselves. We didn't want to do that. Go back and read Romans chapter 7. The Apostle Paul said, that which I would not, that I do. And he said, that which I would, I do not. And he goes on, and he just goes on with that for about four verses. And then finally he says, oh, wretched man that I am. Now this is Apostle Paul speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, right in the Bible. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will save me? And then he says over in Romans chapter 8, he says, but there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, now there's no condemnation. Why? Because He's interceding for you. You say, preacher, you don't know what I did. But He knows what you did. He knew what you'd do before you ever did it. And He still loves you anyway. No expectations. And then when you do sin, He looks at the Father and He says, Father, I've already paid for that. Amen. You say, well, don't you think you can sin away your salvation? No, it's paid for. They sang about it a while ago. It's paid in full. Paid for. The battle's over. The victory's won. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But preacher, I know some Christians don't live right. Well, there's two problems about that. Either the Christian is not living up to what they could be, they're disappointing themselves, or either they're not Christians and they just think they are, say they are, and they're hypocrites. Y'all see that? It's not that they were and now they're not. It's they probably never were to start with. Oh, Billy Sunday, that great Presbyterian preacher back in the 1800s at the turn of the century, the 1900s, helped bring in Prohibition. And boy, he'd go to towns. They'd have to build big tabernacles because churches wouldn't hold them. He was a rough, tough old preacher, you know. And he said this one day. He said, the problem with the churches is not that there's too many backsliders. He said, the problem is most of them never slid forward the first time. Amen. But see, when you look at Christians, you'll see Christ. And He's already seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And we have difficult circumstances, and things do happen, and we worry, is anybody praying for me? Does anybody care? Yes, 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 He cares. He's praying for you. Robert Murray McShane, which I'm sure the kids had learned about on Sunday night. He was a pioneer missionary to America in 1813 to 1843. And he said this, if I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet, distance makes no difference. He is always praying for me. Hallelujah. That beats that old Catholic priest in that little booth, don't it? Amen. 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 He is praying for me. I can see Him. I find Him in the saints. And I find Him seated at the right hand of God. But then I find Him somewhere else. I find Him in the Scriptures. I find Him in the Scriptures. Now the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But John chapter 5, if you'll turn with me to John chapter 5, verse 39, he says this, search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He said, search the Scriptures. Because you believe that in the Scriptures is where you see that you have eternal life. And the Scriptures are where you see Jesus Christ. Amen. Now you go to the Scriptures.
you'll find him. These men, these wise men that came from Babylon, they probably, from what we know, they probably learned about when he was going to be born, where he was going to be born, how he was going to be born, from the prophecies of the book of Daniel. They read the book of Daniel. They were Jews that had been expelled from Israel and taken captive, but they were still studying the scriptures 1,000 years later. They were still studying the scriptures. And so he tells us, he said, you want to find Christ? Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they, the scriptures, are they which testify of me, about himself. Now that's why there's an attack on the Bible. That's why there's an attack on the authority of the Word of God. That's why there's an attack on preaching the Word of God. That's why there's an attack on teaching the Word of God. Now, Brother Bitt, I wouldn't want to be mean. Is that thing turned on? Well, maybe the people that need to hear it's in church that won't hear it. But he didn't say search drama. He didn't say search plays. He didn't say search inspirational dancing. He didn't say search scriptures down there, and I might not even want to say it, but down there, some churches now have beer and Bible study. Yeah, yeah, they do. Everyone here in this town does it. No, sir. He said search the scriptures, the Word of God, the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God, and you'll find Jesus Christ on every page. Every book in the Bible has him in it. Well, I read, his name's not in it, but he's in it. And listen, if you'll search the scriptures, you'll find him. In Genesis, he's the promised seed. In Exodus, he's the smitten rock. In Leviticus, he's the sacrificial lamb. In Numbers, he's the brazen serpent. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, he's the captain of the Lord's host. In Judges, he's the angel of the Lord appearing to Manoah. In Ruth, he's the kinsman redeemer. In Samuel, he's the prophesied son of David. In Kings and Chronicles, he's the one greater than Solomon. In Ezra, he's the one with the good hand. In Nehemiah, he's the wall builder. Esther, he's the unseen hand. Job, he's the living redeemer. Psalms, he's the coming Messiah. Proverbs, he's wisdom. Amen. And in Ecclesiastes, he's the truth above the sun. The Song of Solomon, the Rose of Sharon. In Isaiah, he's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. In Jeremiah, he's the Lord of righteousness. In Ezekiel, he's the prince who enters into the Eastern Gate. In Daniel, he's the Ancient of Days. In Hosea, he's the husband of Gomer. In Joel, he's the one roaring out of Zion. In Amos, he's the one standing upon the altar. In Obadiah, he's the humbler of Edom's pride. In Jonah, he's the typified as the heart in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights, like the Savior. In Micah, he's the ruler of Israel. In Nahum, he's the stronghold in the day of wrath. In Habakkuk, he's the Lord in his holy temple. In Zephaniah, he's the Lord in the midst. In Haggai, he's desire of all nations. In Zechariah, he's the one wounded in the house of his friends. In Malachi, he's the son of righteousness. In Matthew, he's the king of the Jews. In Mark, he's the servant of the Lord. In Luke, he's the son of man. In John, he is the son of God. In Acts, he's the builder of the church. In Romans, he's the justifier of him who believes. In 1 Corinthians, he's the first fruits among the dead. In 2 Corinthians, he's the unspeakable gift. In Galatians, he's the seed of Abraham. In Ephesians, he's head of the church. In Philippians, he's the supplier of every need. In Colossians, he's the preeminent one. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he's the returning Lord. Amen. In 1 Timothy, he's God manifest in the flesh. In 2 Timothy, he is the Lord, the righteous judge. In Titus, he's the blessed hope. In Philemon, he's the savior of slaves. In Hebrews, he's the high priest. In James, he's the judge standing before the door. In 1 Peter, he's the chief shepherd. In 2 Peter, he's the day star rising out of our heart. In 1 John, he's our advocate. In 2 John, he's the confession of one who is true. In 3 John, he's the source of prosperity. In Jude, he's coming with 10,000. thousand of His saints. And in Revelation, He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He's in every book in the Bible. That's where you find Him. Look, you're not going to find Him sitting around a circle somewhere with your legs crossed going, and searching for a higher calling. You're not going to climb some mountain and find some long-bearded, hippie-looking freak up there in a cave living somewhere eating worms and Him tell you where He's at. He don't know. You're not going to find Him in religion. Religion's just a bunch of rules and practices that you try to keep in order to earn your salvation, and it's saved by grace through faith, not of works. You're going to find Him in the Word of God. You're going to find Him in the saints. Amen. Look, you're going to find Him in the Scriptures. We go to church not because we have to. We go to church because it's all supposed to revolve around Him. And the way we get to Him is through that book. And the way, look, I wouldn't know there was a heaven if it wasn't for a Bible. I wouldn't know there was a hell if it wasn't for a Bible. I wouldn't know there was a Savior if it wasn't for a Bible. I wouldn't know how to live right or live wrong if it wasn't for a Bible. The Bible is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. And it's the Word of God is how I found out about Him through His saints. Thank God. Thank God. There's still people. There's still people that believe the Word of God. Let me tell you something. You can't find Christ without the Word of God. Because that's where He's at. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for us, but you can't get to Him until you know about Him. And you're not going to know about Him until you get to the Scriptures. And saints, listen to this. Some people need you, saints, to show them Him in you by you quoting a few Scriptures every once in a while. You know what happens when we as saints don't share the Word of God? People look at us and say, that's a nice guy. Boy, he's a nice guy. He don't drink, he don't smoke, he don't chew. He's good to his family, works every day, pays his bills. He goes to church on Sunday, he's got some religion. He dresses nice. He is a nice guy. Yeah, but they'll die and go to hell thinking you're a nice guy or a nice gal. They need the Scriptures. Acts chapter 8. Philip's preaching a revival. God says, Philip, I want you to leave this revival. People's getting saved. I want you to leave. I'm going to send you down to the desert. And so next thing he knows, he shows up in the desert. Lord spirited him down there. And he's running alongside this chariot. And there's a black man in the chariot from Ethiopia. He is head of everything the Ethiopian queen's got. He's the big man there. And he's riding in this chariot. And he's reading the Scriptures. And he's been to Jerusalem to worship. And he went to the temple to find God. He'd heard about God. And he went to Jerusalem and to try to find God in their temple. And he didn't find God. And he's riding home. And he's still searching for God in the Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit put Philip, he's running alongside, can you see him now? He's running alongside that big old fancy chariot. And he says, understandest what thou readest? And that big old man looks down at him like he's crazy, I'm sure. And he says, how can I except some man guide me? What did he say? I can't understand this book. Somebody's got to help me. And he said, pull her over. I'll help you. Amen. And the Bible says he got up in the chariot with him and he took that scripture, Isaiah. He said, who's this man talking about? The prophet Isaiah he was bruised for our iniquities. Who's he talking about? And it says that Philip took that scripture, Isaiah, and preached unto him Jesus. And when he got through sharing the scriptures with him, he said, now listen to this. This is what the Ethiopian said. Here's water. Where'd that water come from? That was in the desert. God must have put that water there. He said, what hinders me from being baptized? And this is what he told him. He said, Philip said, if thou believest, thou mayest. And the Bible says both of them went down into the water. So we know that was the first Baptist Ethiopian. Both of them went down into the water. And then whenever they come up, the Ethiopian, Bible says, went home rejoicing. And Philip, God took him on his way to talk to somebody else. Now, you listen to me. There's a lot of sinners seeking Jesus.
I was seeking Him. You were seeking Him. Everybody that's ever been born seeks Him. But how shall they find Him unless somebody helps them? Amen? Amen. Let some man guide me. Now, every one of us this week is going to come in contact with people that's searching for the truth. Now, they may not look like it. They may not dress like it. They may not behave like it. But somewhere deep down in their heart, they are seeking God and they don't know how to get Him. So they're going to all other kinds of things trying to fulfill that desire of knowing a holy God. It might be drugs. It might be alcohol. It might be a sinful living condition or a habit or something. But they're all seeking satisfaction of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're not going to get it unless you and I as believers let them see Christ in us and then point them to the Savior sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for them already. He's already interceding for them. He wants them saved. When He died on that cross, He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now listen to me. The reason a lot of people are not saved, they're seeking, but they have no man, no woman to guide them. If you got children growing up in your house, it's your responsibility to guide those children to Christ. That's why He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, now shalt be saved in thy house. That's your job. Grandchildren, that's your job. Family members, that's your job. That's your obligation to share. Don't wait till they're 20 years old in jail. It's too late. Most people in this room work a public job, and on that job, there's people there seeking Christ. Everywhere I ever had a public job, I'd pray this prayer. I'd say, Lord, there's somebody here who needs to be saved. Point me to them. Point me to them, Lord. And I'm going to witness to them the best I can. You'll say, I get fired. I never got fired. I never got fired. If they did fire you, I believe the Lord would have you a better job waiting.
Amen.
I mean, for witnessing for Christ. You young people, you're going to go to school. School, did I tell y'all school starts back this week? You're going to go to school and all those classmates around you are seeking something and they don't know what they're seeking because maybe they don't have a mom and dad goes to church. Maybe they don't have grandparents that are Christians. And they're seeking something. They're going to find it in a marijuana joint. They're going to find it in a pill or a bottle. They think they are. They're going to find it in a relationship. But I've got news for you. God put you there because you know the Savior and He wants you to share and let them see Christ in you. Come on. You know, Jesus had 12 disciples, apostles, and one was a hypocrite. And they still turned the world upside down. And listen, just a few years after He had ascended back up to heaven, the church already had 8, 9, 10,000 people in. Why? Because the Bible says everywhere they went rejoicing and sharing the gospel. Now that's our job, church. That's our job. Now, most churches have lost that. They're self-centered. They're entertaining each other. They're having a good time. They're good people having a good time. While it's like the fiddling while Rome burns. The world's dying, going to hell, and most churches are fiddling while the world burns. But we know the truth. And we know it can set them free. Why? Because we saw it in another saint, and they gave it to us through the Word of God. And now we know He intercedes for us. Why don't we share that with them? When somebody at work says, man, I'm having a hard time, and they kind of reveal things to you, don't say, I'll be praying for you. Say, well, there's already somebody praying for you. Tell them that. Say, did you know there's somebody already praying for you? And they say, who's that? Say it, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession right now. He wants you to be saved and He wants to save you from all that. Yep. You think people get mad at you for that? No, they won't get mad at you for that. Now you run over and point your finger in their face and say, well, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says it's a shameful man to have long hair. That ain't got a stinking thing to do with what's going on in their life. It does say that. But it ain't got nothing to do with what they need. They need the Savior.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says it's an abomination for a man to lie with a man, woman. Yeah, it is. It's an abomination. But that doesn't have a thing to do with what they need right now. They need a Savior. You run over and point your finger in his face and say, you drank that liquor, you're going to go to hell. He may be going to hell, and liquor is probably a good sign of it, but that's not what he needs. He needs somebody to say, look, I love you. Jesus loves you. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for you. He wants to save you. He desires to change your life and give you the victory that I have.
Amen.
I see him. I see the Savior in most every one of y'all. But mostly I see him right there.
Amen.
And that's where it's all at right there. And that's how I know. And that's my assurance. Now you go ahead and throw that away if you want to. You don't read it if you don't want to. I'm going to load you with it much as I can when you get here. But I'm going to tell you something. This here will be standing when everything else is gone.
Amen.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I put it all on him that day. If I die and go to hell, it'll be trusting him. If I fail in the Christian life, it'll be trusting him. No matter what happens, it's going to be trusting him. How about you? Has there ever been a time in your life, or one time, where you trusted him completely and put it all on him? If there hasn't, today would be a good day to do that. And listen, if you're going through trial and tribulation, he's still there. He hasn't left you. Let's stand. Father, bless the reading of your word.